Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and we're excited about this one coming up Wednesday at the Ryman Auditorium, 7:30 p.m. The great Penn and Teller will be in our fair city. And again, you can go to Ryman.com to get those tickets. Penn is on the line with us now. How you doing? Thanks so much for doing this.
I'm doing very well. Thank you. I'm very happy to be there. Very happy to go to Nashville. We've never played the Ryman before, so this will be fun.
Well, that's where I was going to start because, you know, we're Music City, and the Ryman, the mother church of country music, is such a famous venue. I was going to ask if you had been there before, but how cool do you think that will be to be in such a historic venue?
It's really something because, you know, Teller and I have been backbones of country music for 50 years. I mean, when you think country music, like who should be playing the Ryman, the first act that pops into your head is Penn and Teller. You see, you say, how is it possible they haven't played here before? But we're coming in with our particular brand of country music.
Penn and Teller and Hank Williams, it just goes together.
Exactly. But I just saw Willie at the Hollywood Bowl, so I'm all inspired.
Very, very nice. For somebody that has never seen you guys live before, and I mean, you've been on television, you've been doing this for a long time, what can someone expect, or is it always just expect the unexpected?
Well, you know, as someone who's done, you know, Penn and Teller Fool Us for 13 years on the CW and done a lot of magic on TV, it's a little odd to say, but you can't really see magic on TV, no matter how much we try to give you the feeling that you're right there in the room. You simply aren't. So when you see us live, we lie, cheat, swindle, and steal to give the impression that certain laws of time, space, and physics are being broken. And that is something you can only experience live. So no matter how much Teller and I do television, we've done quite a bit, what we really do is really just live shows.
We're talking to Penn on the Chase and Big Joe show this morning. All right, as the biggest Miami Vice fan on the planet, I just want to sit here and talk about you being in Miami Vice back in 1985. Can we talk about that?
Sure. Well, I was shot in the head dead, and I'll just tell you, you spend 2 weeks with Don Johnson, see how much you want to be alive.
But, yeah, I know. We'll get into the Ryman and the comedy and the magic because you guys are great. But at that time, you were on starring in probably the most popular show in the world. And you're in New York City, and you're running around with Crockett and Tubbs. I mean, my God, I'll come see you Wednesday night just to get a picture with you because you were in Miami Vice.
Yeah. It was a pretty nutty time. You know, they went through. That was the it was the opening show of the second season, which was actually everywhere else in the world it was a movie, but here it was a TV show, Prodigal Son. And it was pretty amazing. It was the center of everything. You know, Miami Vice was taking everybody from Broadway and off Broadway. You know, the show that I was on, there were guys from Steppenwolf. There were people all over, and you could just every time you went anywhere in New York, everybody had been on Miami Vice. It was really a fun, exciting time. You know, I mean, when else you get to wear a $5,000 shirt
right,
and play a drug dealer? You know,
oh, yes.
the shirt that I was wearing cost $5,000. Who wears a $5,000 shirt?
Not me, not at all. Let me ask, when you start out and you're busking 50 years ago, any idea, Penn, I mean, any idea you'd be this revered, this loved as you guys are today?
Well, no. You know, if you talk to most people in show business, they will tell you that they are much less successful than they should have been. Paul McCartney actually said in an interview that the Beatles were not as famous as they should have been. But we are an exception. Teller and I, we've been much more successful than we should have been. And we're just waiting for the invisible hand of the economy to catch up and say, what are you guys doing? You know, the real idea, because we never had goals of playing big places or any of that. our only goals were based on wanting to do, you know, amazing stuff. That's one of the reasons that, Taylor and I have been together 50 years, and we put in more new material now than we did 50 years ago. We're always writing new stuff. When Taylor and I get together, if one of us says, you know, I got this idea for a trick that'll be really easy and people will love, the other guy's not very interested. If one of us comes and says, I got this idea, but I think it's impossible and I'm not sure anyone will like it and it's going to be really, really hard, the other guy goes, hey, now, let's go.
I love that.
So we're doing some crazy stuff, you know, and if we played Nashville before, and if anybody's seen us before, it'll be a whole different show. We have written, I believe we've written more magic than anyone in history. So we do new stuff all the time, and we're always jacked up about the new stuff. You know, many people get into show business kind of to get out of it. You know, a lot of people in Las Vegas, they've done the same shows for 20 years, and then they just play golf during the day. I don't want to play golf. I want to do magic tricks.
I love it. Why does it work? I mean, why is it still working today?
Well, you know, Taylor and I have what I believe is now the longest partnership in show business. I guess you could say Mick Jagger and Keith Richards, but they take, you know, 3 years off to hate each other, like every 2 years. We work together constantly, and I think the reason is that it's not, I mean, this is an overstatement, but it's not really a friendship. It's a business partnership. You know, Taylor and I, what we care about is the show. So if we don't get along for a few weeks, we kind of don't care as long as we get the show going and we do good stuff, you know. So, I mean, over 50 years, of course, Taylor and I have become very good friends. But still, we keep it very, very businesslike all the time, you know.
We're talking to Penn of Penn & Teller. They're going to be at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Wednesday. So you talk about, you know, you don't want to play golf. You enjoy doing this. You've been doing this for 50 years as the partnership with Teller. You know, I find it fascinating that you have new material. People are going to see all this new stuff. But what is the balance of writing new stuff, keeping it fresh, but also, you know, being what has gotten you to this point, what people know, the two guys that people will recognize when they come and see your show?
Well, you know, we're always Penn and Teller. You know, we have a style that's always the same, and the tricks change. You know, it's a little different than music. In music, you really want to hear the hits. You know, you go to see Willie and you kind of want to hear him do On the Road Again. But when you come to see us, you just really want tricks that'll blow your mind. And if they're not the same ones you've seen on TV, that might be a little better. You know, I'm a huge music fan. So going to see Billy Strings and Bob Dylan and Willie, it's really interesting, the feeling of music different from a live show. We do a couple of the hits. We always have a thing or two in the show that people may have enjoyed, but it's just a different thing because magic is essentially intellectual. You think about how the world works and how we make it look entirely different. And music is essentially visceral. You essentially feel it. It forces you to tap your foot. Whereas magic, you have to think about, oh, that's impossible, and then your mind is blown.
Do you still have – we love pop culture on this show. We're huge Simpsons fans. I know you guys have been on a couple episodes of The Simpsons. But do you ever have moments that even this far into your career where you pinch yourself when you get asked to do something, whether it's like – Joe mentioned in doing Miami Vice or The Simpsons, WWE, what have you. Is it still kind of like, man, this is really cool, we're getting to do this?
I always think they've made a horrible mistake. I go, really? I remember when I got the part in Miami Vice, my manager, my agency called me and said, you got the part. And I said, I think they made a mistake because I saw the guy ahead of me and he was wicked good. Are you sure? they got the right name and it wasn't on the list wrong. So I always, it's not once in a while I pinch myself. It's I never, ever believe it. You know, I live in a town where, you know, my children to go to school drove by four billboards of Penn and Teller. And it still seems a little bit weird. You know, I'm from a small town in Western Massachusetts. And, you know, my dad was a jail guard. So I really wasn't brought up with any show business at all. The first person I knew in show business was me. So it's still pretty pretty startling, even at 70 years old.
Penn, what is your all-time favorite magic trick?
You know, I think the best trick that we did was that we will not be doing at the Ryman was we did a thing where I drove an 18-wheeler over Teller's chest in front of Radio City Music Hall on 6th Avenue. And that came about because we were doing a special called Don't Try This at Home at the end of the 80s. And the head of NBC had read a big profile of us in the New Yorker. And the interviewer had asked me, what trick have you never done that you want to do? And I said, well, I've always wanted to drive an 18-wheeler over Teller's chest. And it got a laugh from the guy, the interviewer. And we got a call from NBC. And they said, how much money for you to do that trick you want to do? And I said, well, we don't know how to do it. So it'll be more. And Brandon Tartikoff, who was the head of NBC at the time, said, yeah, let's do it. And Teller and I worked for 6 months, and I got to drive an 18-wheeler over Teller's chest in front of Radio City Music Hall. And it was pretty great. It was pretty fun. And the other part that's really funny is, of course, I had to learn to drive an 18-wheeler. Yeah, you know, it's also the time we did the world's biggest card trick, and we had to learn to shuffle diamond plate gigantic cards. It was 2 tons of cards that we learned to handle with forklifts, and it was months we were working in a warehouse in Jersey, learning to use forklifts to be able to shuffle cards. It was the thing we did once on Letterman. The floor had to be reinforced, and it was a big thing. And I remember at the time I was going out now and again with Debbie Harry of the band Blondie, and I remember calling her and saying, well, I'm going to be done at the warehouse at 5 o'clock, and I'll be coming back into the city. Do you want to get some dinner? And Debbie said to me, you know, Penn, if I wanted to date a guy working in a warehouse in New Jersey, I could have skipped the whole Blondie thing.
Oh, that's fantastic. Again, the show is Wednesday at the Ryman Auditorium. Penn, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for taking the time to do this, and we look forward to seeing you in our city coming up on Wednesday.
Looking very forward to playing it. Thanks so much. And we'll be doing a lot of banjo and fiddle stuff. So
yeah. We can't wait.
Okay, then.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. I was waiting for it to get started there.
Was this somebody's daughter's recital that we're listening?
Jay-Z and Rihanna.
It is Run This Town by Jay-Z.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, there you go. So the Titans, I guess the Titans brass are speaking.
There we go.
Now. There it is. Titans brass are speaking right now. Brian Callahan spoke first.
Okay.
Talked a little bit. I was seeing on Twitter, talked a little bit about Cam Ward and his trash talking. And he said, I'm not used to calling in a play to a guy that's still talking while I'm talking. So whatever. Good. But that's his personality. I did see this. Offensive coordinator Nick Holtz, your favorite, is speaking right now. He says left tackle Dan Moore Jr. will let us open the playbook.
Is he not allowing nobody else? Like, you can't open that.
I don't know.
You're trying to get me going, aren't you, with this?
He also said, J.C. Latham, he's been our best offensive lineman throughout the offseason program. His conditioning has been excellent. We challenged him, and he looks like a whole different player.
When's the last time somebody called out a player at a podium, a coach? When's the last time?
I don't know.
Well, I want to get up there and say, you know what? You know, Skoronski hadn't been here. He's as fat as I've ever seen him. You know, couldn't play dead in a cowboy movie. I mean, just I want to hear get called out for these things.
I want to hear, yeah, it was disappointing that Jeffrey wasn't here in our offseason program. We really would have liked to have had him here. But they won't do that.
No, of course not. And
Vrabel wouldn't have done it. Callahan's not going to do it.
Nick Holtz was great when we had – is it Holtz or Holes?
It's Holtz. We go Holtz. Through this every time.
Like Lou Holtz.
Yes.
But there's no T.
Correct.
Okay. I don't want to hear from this guy. I don't hear from him. You're not calling the plays. Remember last week he said, I'm making suggestions.
Fast Chase. Forward to August. Hey, coming up on today's show, Nick Holt's going to sit down with us.
Chase, how many suggestions do I make to you all the time? And what do you do? We'll get around to that.
We'll circle back after the first of the year.
You can't eye roll fast enough. I don't want to hear from a guy who doesn't call plays. I don't want to hear from a coach who doesn't call plays during the game. I don't care what you have to say. Now, Denard Wilson's coming up. I'll hear from him. He's actually a coordinator that makes play calls. Nick Holtz is not. It's a waste of time to listen to this guy. It is.
I don't want to get into this argument again because
you're afraid Jim White's going to come beat you down.
We're just going to no. Jim likes me.
Jim's a good guy. I don't want to hear from the guy.
But there are coordinators around the league that don't call plays.
I don't want to hear from them either.
I just think you need to come to terms.
When the game's on the line, who's making the call?
It's the head coach.
Exactly. We hear from him. Fantastic.
But so what do you think this guy does? Do you think he just gets
He brought- told us he makes suggestions.
Okay.
He told us that.
All right.
Well, I suggest you pass the ball. Oh, we're going to run here. I suggest you run the ball. We're going to pass here. It gives me no insight. I don't want to hear from him. Give me the guy. It's like talking to General Patton's right-hand man. You want to hear from him? No. You want to hear from the guy making the decision.
1978-615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHoundy.com. Is Dan Moore Jr. a security guard for the playbook? Why the hell does it matter?
Thank you. He's going to let us open the playbook. If we're nice, Dan Moore might let us outside. If we're nice, Dan Moore might let the Kona ice truck come in today. We have snacks after practice. Denard Wilson, yes. I want to hear from the defensive coordinator who's actually game planning, doing things, making the call. Nick Holtz, the New York Knicks, I don't want to hear from you. I'm sorry. Nice guy, I'm sure, but I don't hear from you. Let's make it happen. Give me all Callahan. That's what I hear.
Okay. I'll pass that along to them.
You should.
That we just want to hear from two people. Do you want to hear from Bones Fossil?
I don't care about special teams one bit.
Okay.
What's he going to tell us? We got to cover better, got to pump better, get down the field better. What are you telling me?
No, Vrabel does that stuff.
Why have we made special teams so difficult? Why? I want to know why. You punt the ball, you cover. If you're getting punted to, the return team, set up the return. Pretty simple.
Okay.
Stay in your lane, block your guy. Kickoff team, go down the field. Well, not anymore, but you know what happened? It's all changed.
So let it be known that Big Joe, who is now the czar of football, has said, I only want to hear from the head coach and occasionally from the defensive coordinator. That's it. It's the only people with the coaching staff that are allowed to talk.
You're laughing at what Nick Holtz just said.
Sure. But, I mean, I don't care as much as you do about him not calling plays.
So what do you want to hear from him?
I want to hear his thoughts on the development of the quarterback. That's what Callahan did with the Bengals. He didn't call plays
either. Oh, it's worked out so well here.
But you saw 1 year.
You
saw 1 year.
Pretty bad.
With a terrible offensive line.
Don't start.
A quarterback that couldn't hit the broadside of a barn because he overthought it. And then a defense that was meh.
What did your favorite coach, Bill Parcells, say one time?
He said a lot of things. But
you are what your record is.
Okay, fine.
You were 3-14.
They're a bad team. I'm not saying they're not.
He was overwhelmed.
Bad football team.
as a head coach last year.
He admitted that.
So sitting your ass in the press box making suggestions did not prepare you to be the head coach of a National Football League team. You could spin it any way you want to over there, James Carville. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work, all right? Go in your little spin room. It didn't prepare you for this.
I actually got spin class.
Are they knocking down Nick Holtz's door to come hang, be my coordinator? No. Or head coach? No. He was overwhelmed because he never called plays before. Why is this so difficult for all you Titans fans? Why? He admitted so he was overwhelmed. Yeah, he's a nice guy, all right? I don't want a nice guy coaching my football team. I want a winner. Bottom line. But we sugarcoat this. We walk on eggshells not to upset people. God, I miss the days of a Ditka, of guys like that, just calling you out. And they backed it up.
Say something else.
And they backed it up by winning. They backed it up by winning. Sorry. I just, that's how it's all works.
That's fine. What are you going to say? You love to play the what if game.
Yeah.
What are you going to say if this team goes 9-8?
Love it.
Shows love drastic
it.
Improvement.
Love it. Love it. You, dude, you've become a good head coach. Okay. I got to see it.
Sure.
We have to see that on the field. We could sit here and talk all day about did Jeffrey Simmons show up? They got 13 receivers on the team and win games. That's all anybody cares about. I don't care how pretty you look or what the uniforms look like. If you go 5-12, nobody cares. It's about winning. That's it. It's about winning games.
You play to win.
That's it. Game. That's all you do. And if you don't win, what happens? You get fired. You're gone. Goodbye. It's what happens.
Bones Fossil's wearing the Oilers shirt. I like that.
Great. Good for you. Good, Bones. Well done. Well, I mean, punt the ball, kick the ball, cover. Anything else? Anything else?
I'm sure there's more to it.
How did we make special teams so difficult?
I don't know. I'm glad they brought in a guy that actually knows what he's talking about when it comes to special
area,
teams.
Block your zone.
Because the last few special teams coaches that they've had sucked.
Yeah, okay.
Special teams has sucked. They've been terrible for this team.
It's because they put guys out there that suck.
Yeah.
So,
but I do think you need a guy that knows how to coach.
Okay. He's so wanted, he comes to the 3-14 team. Bones Fossil, whatever.
He liked Nashville. He heard Big Joe was here.
That's the worst thing that you'd ever do. And then he hates Donaldson Pike.
615, yeah, everybody does. 615-737-1025 is Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on 1025-1063 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 1025-1063 The Game on this Wednesday. Titans are wrapping up their press conferences and we'll hit the field. You know, I do like when I go to ESPN.com, the first thing I see is big QB questions for every NFL team. How soon can Cam Ward live up to his number one pick status? My thing is there's all this hype mainly here with him. I just hope he's decent. Like, I know he's going to be a rookie. He's going to make rookie mistakes. But, you know, we're just – everybody's like, oh, he looks so good. He's asking so many great questions. He's chirping with Jeffrey Simmons and all this stuff. It's like, okay, great. That's cool. But can he play?
I mean, the fact that he's asking great questions.
I'm glad he's asking.
Is just,
and I'm glad we're reporting that he's asking great questions.
Is just solidifying the fact. But, you know, I saw some clip with Rich Eisen yesterday talking. They hit somebody on talking about Cam Ward. I forget who the guy was. He's like, you know, it was pretty unanimous. How often are we all unanimous in something across the board about Cam Ward's talent? Very rarely. Caleb Williams last year was not as unanimous as Cam Ward is now.
Yeah, sure.
It's not as unanimous as Bryce Young was. So it's just, you know, it's going to be a problem. But everybody's on board with this guy's being good. But again, you know, I really think the August joint practices is a must-go, must-see thing.
Yep.
We've seen it out there. I mean, it's full throttle. They're throwing everything at him because you're not going to play in the game a lot, which I think he should. I think Cam Ward should play the entire first half and the first series of the second half and all three preseason games.
I 100% agree. I will be curious of how they're going to handle that because, like, you got a new offensive line. They should play. and you want him to play with them. Now, once the offensive line comes out, then you can pull him out. That's fine. But I agree that he needs to play as much as possible to get ramped up for that first game against Denver.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be the starter.
You know, Fisher had told us years ago, he goes, I always wanted to see a quarterback lead the team out of the huddle, out of the locker room in the second. I was like, that's great. Same here. Go in, prepare, lead the team, see what kind of you can do in the second half. One series and get out of there. With Cam Ward, I think the more reps you put in that stuff is great.
Now, here's what I would say. For the first game, they got four quarterbacks, right? If they came out and said each quarterback's going to get a quarter, all right, I can live with that. I can live with that for game one. Game two, entire first half, going to halftime, come out. Game three, see where you're at.
What if Cam Ward's the fourth quarterback in that scenario?
Then they just fire him off. Because that's the dumbest.
Right.
That would be the dumbest thing you can possibly do. You're just CYA at that point. You're just trying to be, oh, hit the competition, even though we all know it's not.
Yeah.
No, I want to see him with the ones. I want to see him with the starting offensive line. I think in that first game, I want to see the starting offensive line play the whole first half with Cam and with Levis.
I think you're going to see, because play has been so bad in the National Football League the last 4 to 5 years across the board for offensive lines and offenses. I'd see no problem playing this. And don't come at me with, well, if he gets hurt, he gets hurt.
Guess what? It's football.
If he gets hurt, he gets hurt.
He could get hurt in practice.
Yeah.
He could blow his knee out right now.
Today.
Oh, my God. Why would you say that? Why would you say that, Chase?
Yeah, why would you say that?
But he could.
Right. So let's stop that mindset of doing all that nonsense. Hell, he used to play 6 preseason games back in the day. Guy survived all that.
Yeah. I'm with you, dude. I mean, I'm 100% with you. He's got to play. The only way he's going to learn is by doing it. I will never forget having a discussion with someone in leadership at one point in time of, well, it's a big market. You can't be on the radio. You got to get reps. Okay, well, where am I going to do that? I mean, the only way you learn is by actually doing something.
That's it, Bubba.
May not do it well at the time, but the only way you're going to learn is by actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope they use the preseason and don't put him in a bubble wrap or whatever. I mean, if they're going to do that, then make a rule in the preseason of, hey, you can't touch the quarterback. It's just like practice. Make him wear a red jersey. Like
it'll come to that within 10 years.
Well, the preseason's going to be gone in 10 years.
Yeah. It'll come to that. They'll come to the point where you can't touch the quarterback. It's getting there.
The preseason, because they're going to add the 18th game, I think, in the next year or two. It's coming. And, in fact, I'll go out on a limb and say this. The year they open that new stadium, 18 games.
Okay.
That's what I think is going to happen.
9-9, man. Yeah, I'll do that.
Two preseason games or maybe even one.
Yeah.
Because I think for the players to agree to the 18th game, they're going to say you got to give us two off weeks, which I think is fair.
Mm-hmm.
So you eliminate two preseason games. You go down to one. I mean, look, college doesn't have preseason.
No.
So
everything's going to be pushed back a week. I'm telling you. College is going to start earlier. Mm-hmm. Camp will be earlier with more time off. They're going to own everything that goes on with that. But I agree. And, again, I don't need to see your fourth starting quarterback in a preseason game. I don't need to see your third starting quarterback in a preseason game. Showing number two, I'm happy with that. But show me a lot of Cam Ward going, getting him ready. I don't want to hear the excuse when they're 0-4, well, we should have played Cam Ward in the preseason and all that. Don't. He wants to play. He gobbles up football. Let him play the game.
3337 between Big Joe, PK, and Stillman as a fan, this is the most depressing radio station ever. Jeez Louise.
How? Because I'm talking about Nick Holtz not wanting to hear from him? I want this team to win. I don't want to hear from a guy who doesn't call plays. Hell, 3337, I'd rather hear from you.
Sure.
I think you're more interesting than a guy who makes suggestions.
I just, like, my thing is, and thank you for listening, is because, like, I was reading some of his texts of they were talking about Jeff Simmons this morning. A few people are like, can you move on from this? It's like, why? It's an important subject to talk about one of your star players not being at the facility, even though it's voluntary. And it's like, y'all just, you know, that's where I go with the two-tone till I die. That's where you just want to look the other way. Like, nope, nope. If I ignore it,
This is Rich coming from a Cowboys fan.
What? Looking the other way?
Come on, man.
How is it? How?
You're talking about, look the other way, two-tone the way down. You love the Cowboys.
Okay. But I don't, but I call them out when they do dumb stuff, like all the time because of their owner.
Okay.
I think Jerry needs to.
Are you mad that Jerry didn't go after Derrick Henry?
Yes. 100%.
Okay.
Like, I really thought, like, hey, okay, he's going to leave the Titans, but he'll go to the Cowboys, which is where he wanted to go.
Yeah, right. He lives in Dallas, allegedly, or supposedly.
But Jerry's like, I don't want him. Jerry doesn't know what he wants.
So you're not, what's the Dallas name? Cowboy till you die, whatever, two-tone till you die?
I mean, we did a whole segment earlier this year where I was going to give up on both of them and go get a new team. So, ooh. I mean, that's kind of where I'm at.
We need to bring that back again.
Go Bucks.
Hey,
Tampa Bay.
You're all about Tampa Bay, aren't you?
I'm all about Tampa
Bay. So handsome.
I'm all about Tampa Bay. Coming up next, we'll tell you what day it is and celebrity birthdays. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Wednesday. As I just read this to you, Titans defensive coordinator Denard Wilson, this is from Jill Jelnick, says that Jeffrey Simmons, who is 20 pounds lighter, says Jeff has inspired him to get into better shape. Says, quote, Jeff looks good, end quote.
Oh, hey, Jeff, how are we doing today? Are we good? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Things going okay? Mm-hmm. Can we get anything for you? Lord. That's just nonsense, man.
I don't know. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays. Nope, wrong one. There it is. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Jarrett Fire Divisions covers all of your business's fire safety needs. Go to JarrettFire.com, above and beyond industry standards. JoJo,
you got all right, it. Gentlemen, in the honor of one Dr. Crane, who is on assignment today.
Is that his boat?
Corn of the cob. Corn on the cob day.
Ooh, nice.
I love me some corn on the cob. Do you know you can't digest corn?
So it just stays with you?
No,
or,
it,
well,
it,
yeah.
No, it,
yeah.
It,
I, okay.
It has I've a always wondered why that is.
It has a departure time.
Why is it just
time?
Corn? It feels like it's only corn.
I don't know what you've been eating. Parker, it's also Jacques Cousteau Day. You know who he is?
I don't.
Okay. That's your assignment
he
today.
He invented the jock strap.
He was a great man of the sea. So I'll leave it at that. It's also King Kamehameha Day for those that lived in Hawaii. Know what that means. It's a very important day, King Kamehameha Day. Also, National German Chocolate Cake Day. Talk about something that if – what's the clown from the show, the Stephen King movie? What's the clown's name?
Pennywise?
Pennywise. Thank you. So if Pennywise is in a gutter and he says, hey, I got German chocolate cake, I'm gone.
Okay.
I'm in the gutter.
Okay.
I'm going to get the cake.
Yeah. Okay.
Just letting you know right now if I'm not in work next day. Pizza Margarita Day. Not the drink, but the
margarita.
Pizza.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Oh, good. And then National Making Life Beautiful Day.
We try to do that every day.
You do that? I miss you, Dr. Crane. No misspelling and misreading of all these. All right. Time for celebrity birthdays. Park, are you ready for this game?
I am. I think.
What year were you born?
2001.
I love this.
Hang on. When in 2001?
November.
Good Lord. So you missed 9/11, which, I mean.
Yeah, by a couple months. Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
All right.
I was in eighth grade. Like, that was a I feel old moment.
Yeah. I mean.
No, the music still plays.
2001. I love that. All right. Our first birthday, the great actor Hugh Laurie from
House.
House, and what's the
101 Dalmatians?
And what's a little mouse?
Oh, Stuart Little.
Stuart Little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How old's Hugh Laurie today?
66.
Good job, Park. You were close. Chase up 1-0. Peter Dinklage, that was in the what's the Middle Earth? God, my mind is gone today.
Lord of the Rings?
No, the other one that was an HBO everybody loved. Game of Thrones.
Oh, that one. 47.
45.
56. Joshua Jackson from the TV show The Affair and the one that was Dawson's Creek.
42.
51.
47. Shia LaBeouf.
Oh. Shia LaBeouf.
Great and Fury. God, he was so good.
38.
47.
39. Chase Rip 2-0. Got the rookie up from the minors today on the show. Doing the best he can. Going down here to see who else that you guys don't know. Let's see. Gosh. Actress Adrienne Barbeau. She was in the movie Swamp Thing. Henry, if you're listening, will get this answer.
Yeah.
She married John Carpenter, too.
58.
61.
She's 80 years old.
Oh, boy.
Drummer Frank Beard of ZZ Top.
77.
81.
76. Chase up 3-0. Singer Graham Russell of Air Supply.
75.
83.
75 exactly. Chase up 5-0. Singer Donnie Van Zant of 38 Special.
75.
I'm going to go younger. 68.
73. Chaser's up 6-0.
Gosh, I'm getting smoked.
Talk show host Dr. Oz.
61.
65.
65 exactly.
Hey.
Parker's on the board. 6-2, Chaser. Let's see here. Oh, our good friend lives here in town. The bass player from BR549, Jay McDowell.
73.
67.
56. Donaldson legend Johnny Hobbs. How old is Donaldson legend Johnny Hobbs today?
68.
Got to be pretty old, right?
Pretty old.
73.
60. we got more real quick. Jackie Stewart, the great race car driver, Jackie Stewart.
80.
85.
86. Now 6-3. Parker's storming back. Gary Fensick, safety on the 85 Bears team. Jeff Fisher's friend.
66.
68.
71. Joe Montana.
72.
65.
69. Former Cowboys All Pro, Dolphins All Pro DB, Brock Marion.
64.
63.
55. Down to two. Maya Moore, a great basketball player.
44.
39.
36. So close, Parker. Our last birthday. Diana Taurasi, how old is she today?
42.
43.
43 exactly.
Oh, but nice.
Too short, though. Chase wins 6-5. Good job, Parker.
I don't like
good
losing.
Battle. Good battle.
Parker rallied, man. Proud of you, buddy.
That was a good battle. That is going to do it for us.
It is. As we leave every show, every message, we tell the guys out there, if you are struggling, just somebody to talk to on your cell phone, you could call or text 988. That number is always there. Somebody's always there to talk to you. And we say all the time, no matter what you are going through, know that God loves you, know that we love you, and please reach out. I know sometimes your journey can be a difficult one, can be a tough one, but it is your journey. And I'm telling you, our world is a better place because you are here. We want you to know that. Know that we love you. Again, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD is coming up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.